The word of God to us.
Thank you, Brother Sellers. It's good to be back with you again tonight. How many of you tonight's your first night of the meeting? We won't cast any judgment on you, but the pastors, I understand that. Good to see all of you. And we've been working our way through having personal revival, a renewed spirit. That's why we have these meetings, and we need them. And so quickly, I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Chronicles. My mic on? All right. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, and just one verse, and then I'll give you the background of how we got to that verse in just a moment. 2 Chronicles. I'll give you a minute. Chronicles, all right? Take you a second to get to Chronicles. We don't live there much, all right? 2 Chronicles, and if you've got a Thompson Chain Bible, page 540. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 21. If you're glad to be here, say amen. Amen. All right, everybody ought to be happy. We know who the bachelor is, and we know they're engaged now. All is good, all right? All is fine. And our brackets are set. All is good. We're ready for Thursday. Nothing needs to be done but preaching. And so here we are. In verse 21 of this wonderful chapter, we have this verse. Read now, follow. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness, and the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day. You got it. There it is. That's our theme for the week. Day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. That's an interesting text. I'll give you how we got there in a moment. The psalmist David said in Psalm 119, verse 164, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. 7 times, he said. That is a word of completeness, bringing to full maturity, but it was not about the number. Really, he was always in the mode of praising God. He continually praised God. The word is not held to that number 7. It's an infinite number. The idea is saying, I'm filled with praise. You can mark it down. You can count on it. His life, as he looked at him, as he implored others to look at him, he was declaring that he constantly praised God. He was continually praising God. When you come to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, you find another reference similar to that. And there you find, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise. And here's the word, continually. So we're instructed to offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Praising, thanksgiving with my lips continually to God. G. Campbell Morgan once said, God seeks and values the gifts we bring him. He values gifts of praise. He values gifts of thanksgiving. He values gifts of service. He values material offerings. It's the gift of praise that God wants from you. It's the gift of praise that God seeks out of you. It's your gifts of praise that God values from you. You may think the significance of the dollar amount of your offering. And you may think the significance of the time allotment that you've given him with your day. But God seeks and God values your praise. I want us to consider tonight praising God day by day. Now, the last couple of nights, just by rehearsal, let me remind you, we've learned that we have some daily duties. Those duties are commands and responsibilities. We're not to take them lightly or half-heartedly, but to give him wholeheartedly what he expects from us. I remind you of Joseph and Potiphar's wife in Genesis chapter 39. There Joseph found himself in a day-by-day tempting situation. Potiphar's wife went, what was it, day by day, seeking to get him to lie with her. But he didn't do it. He didn't yield to temptation. In fact, he ran out and left his coat in her hands, and he got out of there in a hurry. And we learned how to deal with temptation day by day. Last night, we came back together and we dealt with
Aaron and his priestly work and their family, the priestly family. In Exodus chapter 29, we saw that there were daily offerings, morning and evening. There was a lamb that was sacrificed continually and daily for their sins. That reminded us that we're to deal with our sin day by day. Hey, it's not wrong to be tempted. In fact, it's normal to be tempted. It's common to be tempted. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. It's human to be tempted. We gave that Sunday night. But when you said yes more than you should have said no, we find ourselves sinning. Sinning. Last night we dealt with what you do when we sin against God. There has to be washing. Daily renewal. That's not something you let build up and do it once a year. You don't spring clean with God. You don't house clean with God. Most folks clean their house really good when they're moving out. You know, you ever know how good you get it clean when you're moving out for the next people? Listen, they live it like a filthy place when they're living in it, but for the next people, we got to shampoo the carpets and clean the windows for the next people. I never have understood that. I mean, leave the dirty place for them. Let them do it. You've already sold it, or they've got your rent deposit, but that's how we live. Typically, we do. And so I want us to deal with the third thing tonight, and I think it follows the succession of what we're talking about. Temptation. What do I say? Temptation and timing leads to trouble. Yeah. Temptation with an opportunity or timing leads to big trouble. And if you find yourself in big trouble, what do? Wash. You go and meet with God. There was an appointed time, appointed place, an appointed way to be cleansed by God. I hope that the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you all about that, not only last night, but over these last 24 hours. But tonight I want us to consider from this story of restoration and revival some spiritual activities and some procedures that took place here in Hezekiah's life and in his leadership of praising the Lord day by day. Wouldn't you agree that somebody that's been tempted, that said yes when they should have said no, that was in sin, once they're cleansed and have the blessing of forgiveness, has a reason to praise the Lord? This is how these things build. You've got reasons to praise the Lord, and I want to highlight those reasons along with Mr. Hezekiah, and let Him help us tonight. As always, I'll give you three things, and I'll give you some more things under those things. But for those of you that like to have some things, here they are. Thing number one. Ready? Praise is a common practice. Praise, I might should rephrase it. Praise should be a common practice. Now, in some places, praise is restrained. Some places I know praise is refrained upon. Some places I know praise is ridiculed. You get mocked a little bit. For some people, praise is embarrassing. And sometimes praise is even excluded. I dare say there's folks in this room tonight that's never truly praised the Lord. I'm going to show you and teach you from our text tonight how we're to do that. Praise is a common practice. It ought to be as common as eating. It ought to be as common as breathing. It ought to be as common as assembling and worshiping our God. It ought to be something that's ordinary. It's something that's normal. There is no exceptions to it. We ought to be a people of praise, and the house of the Lord ought to be a place of praise. Now, when Hezekiah took the throne, he found of the kingdom, he found it in deplorable condition. I mean, I know Mr. Trump said, you just don't understand what I inherited, and that could be a mockery for some, and the last president could say it about the one before him, and sometimes pastors can say it about churches that they get called to. Man, there were some things that we had to clean up before we could build up and go forward. But when Hezekiah took the throne, he found the conditions of Judah abhorring. The temple had been desecrated. The priests were defiled. They defiled themselves, and they were defiled along with the system of offerings. They hadn't had... Am I still preaching? All right. They hadn't had offerings and feasts. They hadn't been obeying just out of neglect. It had been a horrible place. He immediately took steps to reverse those things. He saw what the need was, and he began to make some steps. Look back in this chapter and I'll give you the background. Look at verse number 1 of this chapter, chapter 30, verse 1. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah. Maybe you can turn me up a little bit. I just can't hear myself like the other nights. It's been so good. I sound so wonderful. Thank you. God, look one more notch higher and you're almost there. Kiss that guy back there. He's wonderful. He's a wonderful guy. Now, no guys do it, please. And no girls do it either. But just kiss yourself, all right? All right. Hezekiah, what does it say in verse 1? Sent to all Israel and Judah. I underline the word all there. In case some of you are wondering, he's not talking about us. Or this is another dispensation. I just love that. Hezekiah